You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins of Death podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, we've got some Dolphins news, updates, and whatnot to recap, as well as some Dolphins news to kind of look ahead to. Dolphins last week introduced Anthony Weaver as their new defensive coordinator. We got to speak to him for the first time, ask him a bunch of questions, get to know him for a bit. So that was really interesting. We're going to get to that. As well as look ahead to the franchise tag window opening, which begins tomorrow, Tuesday. At that time, teams can begin to place the franchise tag, the transition tag, all those tags on players. The Dolphins have some candidates for that. We're going to discuss that and kind of look ahead with the start of the new league year in free agency, quickly approaching. Got the combine next week, and then before you know it, we're going to have the start of free agency where all the moves are going to be flying. But we got to start with last week, the Dolphins introducing Anthony Weaver as the new defensive coordinator. It was about a week, 10-day long process, but they ultimately hired, as we mentioned before on a previous pod, Weaver, who was with the Baltimore Ravens the past three seasons, assistant head coach and defensive line coach. And last Thursday was the opportunity for him to kind of really lay down his vision for the team. And he said a lot of interesting things that we're going to get into. Kind of the quick hits, kind of the biggest points that stood out to me was one, there was a lot of uncertainty and kind of mystery around the scheme that he was going to bring. And he said that this is going to be based off of what he's seen in Baltimore over the past couple of years. That was a really good defense last year. He said the basis of that is going to be, you know, multiplicity, being flexible. And he thinks that there's some overlap here. He mentioned, you know, kind of his plan for one of the team's biggest players, that being Jalen Ramsey. He called him the ultimate chess piece, which, you know, means that unlike last year, you know, we might see Jalen Ramsey in the slot. You might see him at safety. You might see him in a lot of different spots. That was something that was kind of a point of frustration, or it looked like it was a point of frustration for him, especially not being able to shadow receivers as we've seen him throughout the year. But the biggest thing is he just seemed to really align with Daniel. Like, I don't want to call him the anti-Vic Fangio, but he was pretty close to the opposite of Vic Fangio as you could get. You know, he embraced the use of analytics, the talking points, the way he talked was very similar to Mike McDaniel. You know, we heard so much about adversity is an opportunity last year. He broke out problems are gifts. You know, that might be from the same tree of saying, I don't know.
So, a corollary, yeah.
Exactly. So he just seemed very aligned with McDaniel. It seemed like it was a move as much about, you know, the culture as it is X's and O's. And McDaniel even said that. He was like, hey, I got to talk to Weaver as a person. And then we got into the X's and O's. So it seems like they're very aligned. And I mean, that's the start of any successful pairing. I guess, what are your expectations for Anthony Weaver in year one?
Well, I expect first thing, it's his first time as a DC. I expect there's going to be some mistakes.
Well, it's his
early
first one, second stint as a DC. He had the one year in Houston, which didn't go all that well. He joked about that too. We asked, what did you learn from that experience? And he said, don't take a job in the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
This is first real stint, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. That was a classic setup for failure. You know, you're being sent out there as the cannon fodder, and you know, you're the mushroom. You got shot up by the centipede. You know, in the centipede game. But I do expect mistakes, because this is the first time he's dealing with a unit that has possibilities and. I expect him to try to, you know, there's going to be some reaching in directions that aren't always correct. So I'd say the first four or five games, there's going to be some times where they just don't look very, they don't look very good. They don't look as, they don't look like they're going to be up to the, live up to their talent. On the other hand, I think if you have a good vibe with the players, and they will trust you through those times, and you will work things out and work through problems. And he'll, and you know, he's gonna, it's what any good coach does, is figure out what you got and say, okay, what do I know how to coach that fits this talent? You know, as opposed to, you know, to being bullheaded and saying, well, this is what I coach, you know, and, you know, you got to, you know, I'm going to fit, pound your little, you know, square peg into a round hole here. Well, you know, I think some of, you know, I just think it's going to be a better fit personally. And when it, there's a better fit personally, you know, I think players are a lot more receptive to change, and then they're receptive to learning. And they're receptive, and then if they're receptive to learning, they're receptive to change, then, you know, then it can be a two-way street, and things, you can work through things better, and you get to your best place quicker. So, you know, we'll, that's kind of my expectation, is that it's going to be a few games, but, you know, maybe ultimately the end of the season, we will see on a more consistent basis, you know, a solid, strong defense that can, you know, that can hold up when it needs to, and not just hold up when it needs to. I mean, they held up when they needed, you know, in the playoff game, I think, you know, but like really, if you need this, if you need to squash somebody, if you really need to sit on somebody and win a game 14-10, you know, 17-14, okay, you can do that. You know, they're deep. So far, the defense this past season was good, very good at times, but just not, you know, it was never going to, you know, if the offense didn't have a good day, they weren't going to pull out the win.
Yeah, I mean, the defense did finish, I guess you, the phrasing is that it had its first top 10 finish since 2010, so top 10 in yards per game allowed. But that was kind of skewed by them beating up on some, you know, some bad offenses, some bad teams. We saw when they had to face, you know, the upper echelon quarterbacks, whether even in week one when they faced Justin Herbert, or the two meetings with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, we saw them give up a lot of points, a lot of yards. And I do understand that late in the season, they were dealing with injuries, but that was a consistent theme. Even when they played like the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, like they did give up a lot of points and a lot of yards. So yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah. Like that, there's a high bar to them. The bar is high. I think despite whatever frustrations there were with Fangio, there is a high bar that he's leaving. But also, there's a lot of room for improvement. You mentioned a good point about the person, being personable. And he mentioned, you know, we talked about how he's a former player. He really leaned into that, like early on, saying like he understands the day-to-day grind of what these guys go through. It kind of helps him relate, talk to guys. He talked about wanting to be on the, like, call plays from the sideline as opposed to Vic Fangio, who called plays from the booth. And said, like, I can kind of feel the game more. I kind of can talk to guys. I can really leave my imprint. And he's like, I don't think you can really feel that impact from the booth. So that's another way. And again, we talked about how, you know, there was some frustration with Vic Fangio and some of the decisions he made, some of his, you know, lack of being flexible, not kind of leaning into the strengths of his players all the time, is maybe making them adjust to, you know, his scheme and you know, what that entails. And I just don't get that sense that that's always going to be the case. You know, Weaver talked about adapting from week to week. You know, he mentioned, hey, like there's going to be times where you have injuries and you can't do what you've done the past month or whatnot. So he's saying all the right things. Now, obviously, there was kind of an interesting part in his presser where he's talked about all the guys that he's excited to coach and whatnot. And he starts listing off like a bunch of guys. He's talking about Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, you know, Jalen Ramsey, Javon Holland. And he notably named all the guys who are like for sure going to be on the team. And then he's like, I got to throw Christian Wilkins in there. And we're like, wait, Christian is a free agent. Are you taking anything? Are you taking anything from that? He did say, you know, if I left anybody out, you know, I apologize. But it is notable, you know, he didn't initially mention Christian. He didn't initially mention Jalen Rand. I mean, Xavier Howard, who has his own kind of contract question. He didn't mention Jerome Baker, who's, you know, kind of floated as a cap casualty. Are you taking anything from that, or is that just kind of a first day omission or something like that?
Oh, the fact that it was, you know, the guys who are, you know, there's questions about that. Obviously, you look at that and go, okay, what was he told? Because look, if I'm interviewing to be your DC, the first thing I'm going to ask, or OC or any coach, is who am I coaching? Who am I going to be coaching? And if you're telling me, yeah, well, you know, if you're telling me, hey, you know, yeah, Christian's got his contract thing, but we're going to get that done. That's one thing. But if you're telling me, we kind of don't know, you know, we hope so, then, you know, I'm probably not going to be naming him among the guys I'm excited to be coaching. Because I've been thinking, you know, for a few days, I might not have that piece, you know, and the same thing with X. So,
I mean, that is the one concern that I have going into 2024. That I'm my worry and my fear is that they're not going to have the talent that they had last year. We already talked about how Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are returning from injuries. We don't know what, like, there's a chance that neither of those guys is ready for the start of the 2024 season. Like, they could start the season on PUP just because of how late they were injured, right, and the severity of those injuries. And then you talk about the free agents, whether it's Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkel, Deshaun Elliott, and then you talk about the potential cap casualty guys. Like, remember, this is a team that's $50 million over the cap. They have to get under cap compliant just to, like, you know, be in NFL, you know, regulations and stipulations. And then you have to free some more money just to, like, re-sign your guys and sign other guys. Totally, that's my worry, that they're not going to have as much talent. You know, there's talks about all the guys they're excited to coach, but are all those guys going to be healthy? Are all those guys going to be around? That's the one concern that I have. But obviously, there is a lot to work with. Again, they look like he's fundamentally aligned with Mike McDaniel, and that's a great place to start. So we'll definitely see how that his vision for the defense takes shape. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to talk about one of those guys who may or may not be in Miami in 2024, Christian Wilkins. The franchise tag window opens Tuesday. What do the Dolphins do with Christian Wilkins? We're going to discuss that when we come back. So stay locked with us. We'll be back soon.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins That podcast with David Neal, talking all things Dolphins. Now, in the first half, we broke down first impressions of new Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. We touched on, you know, one of the many players he said he was excited to coach in 2024, that being Christian Wilkins. But the big question for the Dolphins is, will Christian Wilkins be in Miami next season? Obviously, he is slated to be one of the many Dolphins hitting free agency. However, franchise tag window opens Tuesday, giving teams, including the Dolphins, an opportunity to place the tag on a pending free agent, prevent them from hitting the open market, and maybe buy some time to strike out a new deal, or just keep them in that city for one more year. Now, I wrote a story Monday morning, published Monday morning, breaking down the pros and cons, all angles of the franchise tag. But just to kind of give a quick, breakdown, quick synopsis of how it works. You have two franchise tags, the non-exclusive franchise tag, the exclusive franchise tag. The non-exclusive tag, franchise tag for Christian Wilkins will be roughly around $20 million. It would allow Wilkins to negotiate with other teams at the start of free agency. And if a team wants to sign Wilkins, they would have to give the Dolphins two first-round picks. The exclusive tag is a little more expensive. However, teams aren't able to, or Wilkins wouldn't be able to negotiate with other teams. So he's locked into the Dolphin with the Dolphins under the exclusive franchise tag. You can franchise tag and trade a player. Now, if you remember a couple years back in 2018, the Dolphins did that with Jarvis Landry. They put the tag on him. They traded him to the Browns for a fourth and seventh round pick. So there are multiple options with the Dolphins and Christian Wilkins. Now, I think that for the Dolphins, and just to give some of the background, they had talks last summer about a deal. If you remember Christian Wilkins, he had a hold-in during training camp. He was showing up to training camp, but not practicing. He wanted a new deal. That was his way of kind of, letting it be known that he wants a new deal. When the regular season started, both sides agreed to shelve the talks, wait till after the season. We all saw what Christian Wilkins did. 9 sacks, career high. It was fifth amongst defensive tackles, and he was really one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. So it's time for him to get paid. He's going to get paid one way or another, whether it's the Dolphins or whether it's another team. Now, the question for the Dolphins, and really the conundrum, the problem for the Dolphins is, as you mentioned before, they are $50 million over the cap. And by
– That's a lot.
That's a lot of that, I think that's the second – How do I phrase it? That's the second worst cap situation right now, aside from the Saints, who are kind of like every year they're like negative 90 or minus 90 over the cap and they get under it. So by the start of the new league year, 4 p.m. March 13th, you have to be under the cap. It doesn't matter if it's $0.01, $1, you got to be under the cap. But for the Dolphins, as I mentioned before, they not only need to, free up $50 million. They had to probably free up like $70, $80 million just so they can re-sign their guys. They've got guys like Robert Hunt, Connor Williams, maybe Andrew Van Ginkle. They've got guys that they got to re-sign. And then they got to add more players to fill the holes that they have. So the thing with the franchise tags is that, whatever $20 million franchise tag, because I'm just kind of going by the non-exclusive tag, because that's what we know right now, that's going to be $20 million, and that's going to count on the 2024 cap. So for the Dolphins, you're essentially saying like you got to earmark like $80 million to clear if you're going to franchise tag Wilkins and, keep some room to re-sign and add some guys. So the question, having all that information, what do you do if you're the Dolphins? Do you franchise tag Wilkins? Do you try to tag and trade him, which we don't often see, but sometimes we see? Do you let him hit the open market and kind of see what's out there? Because, I mean, he's going to get a deal. It seems like if he hits the open market, he's going to get a deal worth about $20 million. Like, that's the going rate for a top defensive tackle, and he proved that he can do it all this past season. What do you do if you are the Dolphins entering this critical offseason and you have a guy like Christian Wilkins ready and, about to hit the open market? It's a conundrum.
I go to Hard Rock and I don't split queens. it's really, really is a tough situation because I might go with the non-exclusive tag. And the attraction of draft picks is wonderful. The problem of course, that's down the road.
But
and also B, you got to hit on those draft picks, and C, you're losing Christian.
I think my guess is it's pretty unlikely that the Dolphins are going to get a team to sign, not only sign him to a top of the market deal, but give two first rounds. That's a little too much competition in my eyes. Like if Lamar Jackson couldn't get two first round picks. If Lamar Jackson couldn't, you know, elicit two first round picks from a team to the Ravens, you know, I don't know. I think that's kind of unlikely that, you know, he's able to get that type of that type of compensation for the Dolphins.
Yeah, you know,
because I've run the numbers too, like just on over the cap, and it's like you can't keep everybody. Like it's really
that's hard
to keep,
problem.
Like especially because Robert Hunt looks like he's going to get a top of the market deal. We're not really sure what's going to happen with Connor Williams because he's coming off the ACL injury. But it's almost like you can restructure some contracts, but it's almost like at some point you might have to cut. You know, whether it's a if it's a Xavier Howard, if he doesn't want to restructure this deal, if it's a Jerome Baker, it feels like you're like if you tag Wilkins, it feels like you're kind of stuck. Like you gotta either say goodbye to, you know, some of those pending free agents, or you're gonna have to maybe cut a guy who you otherwise like to keep in order to, you know, keep Wilkins and keep some of your other guys. It's really tough, you know. And obviously, you know, if he leaves a free agency and he signs the deal that we think that he would sign, you'd get a third round pick most likely as a compensatory pick, but that wouldn't come until 2025.
Right. So
you're essentially losing him for nothing in the short term.
I think also the Dolphins have to consider, you know, how rare is Christian Wilkins, you know. There's certain players, certain positions, it's really hard to find a high-end person, a high-end player. And I think with all that he brings to the Dolphins, I don't know if they can replace that.
I don't know if he's a top five defensive tackle, but I think he's definitely a top 10 defensive tackle.
And also, like, what I think he plays a big role on the mood of this team, the vibe of this team.
He's a leader. He's an emotional leader. Yeah,
right. And the way he plays, you know, he's gonna get on your nerves. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna be that guy who, when the team is flat, gets it going again and pumps it back up. And that's a value. That's, you know, that's not about, you don't get a whole lot of players who can do both, who are both kinds of both those kinds of guys. And with that talent, and if you're still of the, you know, strength up the middle thinking on how you build a football team and how you build either a unit, then, you know, maybe bite the bullet and pay him. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they got close. I mean, Greer said as much. He said that he thought that they gave him a very, very competitive offer, but they just weren't able to bridge the cap. My guess is it, because usually it has something to do about the guarantees, like how much more maybe Wilkins' side want a little bit more guarantees. And I think I haven't spoken to anybody about it, but just my guess is what's been difficult about these negotiations, at least last year, was that Wilkins didn't have the same. And I wrote a story about this at the time last year when all these defensive tackles were getting paid, because like five defensive tackles signed deals averaging at least $20 million last year. So the market had already been set, but Wilkins didn't have that same pass rush production. Like he didn't have the raw sack numbers. And I know a lot of people will say that sacks are an antiquated stat, but teams are going to use that against you in negotiations. And he did not have those sack numbers. He came out this year in 2023. He had nine sacks. He pretty much was on par with all the other. I mean, he outperformed a lot of, you know, his peers that got these big deals. So now whatever deal Wilkins was looking for, he probably has reason to ask for more now. Because he's like, hey, I mean, honestly, he had a career high in sacks. I think that's what makes it probably even tougher. But if I'm the Dolphins, like if I really am trying to keep him, they got to bridge the gap. I think that whatever, unless he's trying to completely reset the market. And again, if you're Wilkins, you can kind of make that argument. But unless he's trying to completely reset the market, like on top of Aaron Donald, I think that the little concessions you would have to make on the guarantees, on the average annual value, I think that that would probably, like, it wouldn't be anywhere near, having to put the franchise tag on him, and then you have this huge, salary, you have this huge cap hit in year one, and then
Right.
it inhibits you or prohibits you from even, signing your guys. Like, if you're giving an extra like $2-3 million, well, I think that's probably better than, getting that long-term deal with a nice structure that allows you to have some more freedom in 2024. That's probably better than, just slapping a franchise tag on them. And then it's like, hey, we're pretty much stuck. Like, at this point, again, at this point, if the franchise tag them, the way the cap situation is, you're probably gonna have to cut some guys just to even have some flexibility and re-sign other guys. And then you're kind of creating more holes. It's like you get the money, but now you have to use that money to fix double the holes. My guess, and I, again, I'm very, very intrigued and interested to see what they do this offseason, because $50 million worth of camp, like, I don't think they've really been in this situation
That's,
before. Like, the past
yeah.
couple of years, they've had a ton of money. We've been talking about, oh, how are they going to spend all this money? Now we're like, how are they going to get money? So I'm very,
Right.
very interested to see what Chris Greer and his staff does. My guess is that he gets the tag. I don't think. I mean, unless, I don't know, like, I think the three guys who I'm interested in watching is Wilkins, Hunt, and Connor Williams. Like, can they get deals with any three, like, any of those guys before they hit free agency? Because even if you get, let's say you get Hunt on a deal, it's like, all right, we've got that. We know that we can kind of earmark that into our plans, into
Right.
our books, and then we can kind of move accordingly. But if they let all three of those guys hit free agency, with their situation, I don't know. Like, I don't like letting guys test the market and see what's out there.
No.
Especially guys like Hunt and Wilkins, who are healthy, who are coming off strong years, who are relatively young, and you're not gonna have the facility. It's not like the past couple of years where you can just outbid everyone and pay
Right.
above the market. Like, oh, you got limited funds right now. My guess is that Wilkins get the tag. But man, if they can find a way to get a long-term deal with him, it makes everything so much easier in terms of kind of
Yeah.
navigating the rest of the offseason.
And navigating, future years. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you never want to, if you're intent on keeping a guy, you do not want them out there, looking at other people's money. Because, somebody's always going to come along. It's like when you sell, oh, you think you can do better than me? Go out there and see what's out there. They'll find somebody better than you. They will find somebody better than you. You might be really good, but they'll find somebody better than you. So, if you really want to, if they really want to keep him, they do have to, they definitely can't.
Well, I don't think the
Go
Dolphins
out.
don't
Yeah.
have a lot of leverage right now. Like,
No, no, but they,
they can put
but.
the tag on them, but I don't think the tag is like a couple of years ago with Mike Gesicki. They had $70 million. So when they put the tag on Gesicki, that cut like a little, not even a chunk, just like a little bite
Right.
of their
But
cap space. And it was like, all right, let's keep on making the other moves. This isn't a team that is really in a position to use the franchise tag to keep anybody.
right. But if you're, like I said, if you're going to, if you really want to keep them, you do what you need to do to keep them. And you need to do to keep them from going out and seeing what that, because somebody's gonna give up stupid money. I mean, this is the, you got 30. You got 31 chances to find, even if it's overpaying and it's foolish overpaying, you got 31 chances to find a fool. I like those odds. I like those odds. And we've seen it before in the NFL. We've seen it in every single sport. There's always somebody who's willing to do it. And even no matter what type of situation it puts them in, if it's, it's smart move or not. So, and of them all, I'd probably sign Wilk, try to get Wilkins signed the
Yeah,
most
I mean,
because
we haven't even talked about
it's
whether they even can sign all three. Like, I don't even know if they, like,
right.
I think it's almost kind of a foregone conclusion. Like, they're going to lose one of those guys,
Right.
maybe two. Yeah, we haven't even like discussed that topic of like whether they can sign all three or maybe two, and that kind of depends on what they do in the next month in terms of freeing up money.
And I just think you know, when you're talking about, again, the priorities, that's he's a very good player at a very key spot. And you know, there's not a lot like him with as far as the total package. So that is Christian Wilkins. So, you know, you're not going to get him for Dollar Tree price. So, you know, be ready to shop at Fresh Market. That's, and then you go from there. But you know, it's getting expensive out there, and especially if you 50 million over the cap, you know, when those bills come due.
Yeah, I mean the bill is coming. I mean they can kind of use the credit card, they can push it down another year or two and free up some space, but even then it's going to be tough to really make the upgrades that this team needs in order to move from wild card second place in the division to really contending in the AFC. So we'll definitely see what happens. Again, the start of the new league year for agency is quickly approaching. This time in a month, we're going to be talking about some of these Dolphins moves. So we're going to by then we would have probably gotten some clarity on Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt and Connor Williams, maybe some other of these guys who their future in Miami has kind of been questioned. So we'll definitely see what happens. All right, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins of That podcast. I want to thank you guys as always for tuning in. Reminder to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami
Miami
Herald.
Herald.
Miami Herald. This time next week, we'll be recording, or I'll be recording from Indianapolis, home of the NFL Scouting Combine, David's favorite city. As
David's native city, not David's favorite city. Now, come
David's
on.
native city and favorite city.
I like Indianapolis, but come on. Slow down.
I'm gonna say fresh
You
off the
know.
NBA All-Star Weekend, NFL Scouting Combine. We're gonna be talking to Mike McDaniel, we're gonna be talking to Chris Greer, we're gonna be talking to plenty of draft prospects. So definitely stay locked to the Miami Herald for your latest Dolphins updates and more. We'll be back next week, as I said. But until then, you guys take care. See ya.
Later.